Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we're dedicated to waste reduction efforts, big and small. I'm Biz.
And I'm Kara.
And today we're going to talk about creating a demand. Mm-hmm. We're sort of tailoring this, I suppose, to like voting with your dollar and how the things that you choose to consume create a demand for more of those things to be made. I actually have a funny story. I had a conversation with my mother, which at the time she was working in a liquor store, and she had brought home her something from work in one of the liquor store bags. And I was like, why wouldn't you, like, why did you use the bag? Somehow this came up. And she was like, well, the bag's already there. So it's not like I'm hurting anything because it's already made. It's already garbage. I'm like, kinda. Except that you using those bags means when they run out, they'll have to get more. And then that creates this demand up the line for more to be made. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that conversation with my mother really sticks out in my head when it comes to creating a demand for things.
I've had similar experiences too with my mom, which is kind of funny. just the concept of, you know, she's like, oh, but it's already, you know, it's already in the store. Like, it's already been made. So, you know, like, if you bring it home, that's fine. Like, it's not like it doesn't exist. You just bring it to your home. So it's the same kind of idea, right?
Well, that's so funny.
And we don't realize that our purchases definitely make a difference.
Yeah. And so, like, if you buy something or use something, so it doesn't necessarily have to be something you purchase. So in this case, like, a plastic bag at a store is usually free, or a disposable cup at a coffee shop is included in your purchase of the coffee. But if you use those items, then those are things that they think you want, so they make more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those seem like the obvious things to me. Was there anything particular that you thought like was a big problem in this?
Well, I think just generally, I think we don't necessarily realize like to what extent like it goes up the chain, right? Because it's not only about, you know, you're buying or you're not buying something, but like if you buy something, then you create a demand. It's also thinking about, you know, all that goes into making those products. And like, just, I think we don't recognize, and I don't even know fully when we're thinking of like how certain objects are made and just like, you know, plastics that go in it and how far that goes. And like, I think it's just so complex that we don't fully understand the picture of what it takes to make a certain product or certain thing.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and even like the energy consumption that goes with it, you know, like I think there's a lot behind it. Or like if you're thinking of even like clothing, you know, overseas or something, like sometimes it's like the child labor or like what have you that's behind it. So I think it's much more complex than I think we think it is.
So I don't know why, but recently, like I will say that pizza pops are like a guilty pleasure for me. It's not like a staple okay. in my diet, but it's just this really comforting, easy to make food when I'm just like, I just need something right now that is easy and cheap. And so I was thinking like the amount of plastic that I have from that pizza pop is pretty minimal. But in my brain, mm-hmm. I'm like, but I know that behind the scenes, there was so much crap going into making these pizza pops. Like, it might not seem like the end result really makes that big of a deal, but I know that, like, up the line, I'm creating a demand for all those other things that go on behind the scenes to make that pizza pop. So, like I said, I don't do this very often, but every once in a while, I'm just like, I just want a damn pizza pop.
For sure. And I think the other thing too is like you mentioned, like, you know, you might think, oh, it's, you know, it's my, you know, I'm just doing this once or once in a while or what have you. And I think what we forget is like, we're not the only ones.
Said 8 billion people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the other big part. I guess what are like things when you go to purchase something, are there like questions that you ask yourself before you decide if you're going to buy the item or use a bag or what have you? Like, what comes into your mind? Or like, what can people think of before they make a decision? Do you have tips on that?
Oh, I know a good list, actually. Questions to Ask Yourself by the Minimalists. Of course, now I can't find it. Well, I mean, yes. There are lots of things like, do I really need this? Can I get this used? Can I get my old one repaired? Like, there are mm-hmm. things that you can kind of go through in your mind. But of course, when you're in the moment, sometimes it's harder. And I honestly think that in this topic, maybe a good question to ask yourself is, if I buy this, what is that going to mean for the market? Like, am I creating a demand for more of these things to be made? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So clothing, actually, I think is a good example of this, creating a demand that we want to create a good demand versus a bad demand, like fast fashion. If we are consuming new clothes constantly, then the clothes are going to be made cheaper, like less quality. They're going to be pumped out faster. There's going to be more of them. Whereas if we purchase locally made, sustainably made materials and get clothing in that way, then we're creating a demand for that to be the more common option for clothing, right?
Right, right. So I guess it's picking, if you're going to have to make a purchase or you need something, it's choosing the lesser of two evils in a way, or the industry that you want to support, as opposed to, one that may be more problematic or cause more damage.
Yeah. So just because something exists already doesn't mean that using it or buying it doesn't create a demand for more to be made, right? So like that is, and it goes up the ladder. So with clothes, for example, if you buy fast fashion that was manufactured by child labor somewhere, of course, if you don't, you may not know that. Oh my goodness. Have you watched The Good Place? Have you seen that show?
Oh, yes.
There is this scene that is like the perfect scene for this. They're talking about how buying a tomato is negative 400 points or something because the tomato was using pesticides and was brought in from so-and-so, so the carbon emissions. And I was just like, yes, oh my goodness, I want to share this scene with the world. it just made me laugh. I'm just like, absolutely. Like, so with food too, like, I think there's this stigma that eco-friendly options are more expensive, and that's true. Mm-hmm. But if you buy them more, they'll become more easily available and more affordable over time. That's how that works.
Mm-hmm. People have to buy into that.
Yeah, but you have to create that demand first, or it's going to be a rare occurrence, in which case it's going to be harder for people to bring to you.
And how do you, like, one question I've been wondering lately is, I enjoy thrift store shopping. And that's usually one of my, like, if I'm going to go buy something, I'm going to try and get there first. I'm wondering if there's any, like, negative repercussions from that as well. Or is that, like, really a best place to go? Like, what are your thoughts about that?
That depends on the thrift store. So thrift stores are actually kind of not, like, I don't want to donate my stuff to thrift stores anymore because I know that most of it just ends up getting thrown out anyway. Or exported to third world countries that I need to do more research on this, but I'm pretty sure they don't really want our garbage, but
no.
I don't know the specifics, but I know that we export a lot of our garbage textiles to other countries, and we're like, oh, we're doing mm-hmm. good, we're donating to this charity by giving them all of our garbage textiles. I'm like, are we though? I don't know about that. Yes, getting stuff secondhand is great, but thrift stores don't really hold on to everything until it's sold. Mm-hmm. 80% of whatever goes into a thrift store is garbage anyway. So I don't know. That's kind of one of those struggles that I haven't really made a decision about, because getting something secondhand, yes, is good, but then you're supporting these businesses that do these practices in the background.
Right. Well, I think the issue you were thinking of is in terms of the clothing too, is yeah, you're right. A lot of the stuff that might get donated won't get bought, then it gets shipped over overseas. Either it becomes just trash because it's not good enough, or I think the other issue is it hurts the local like textile economy and like clothing economy in those countries, right? Because they can get cheap clothes that we might have donated, but then it doesn't support their local fashion businesses. I think that's one of the
Yeah.
biggest issues
I
that
feel like
I've
there's
noticed.
better ways to go about helping them out in that area.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. But I feel like Goodwill's pretty good. They at least have some I feel like their ethical progress like processes are stronger than say like Value Village. Whereas Value Village will say like, "Hey, it helps your local charities," but yeah, then I would do more research into that. Just look, I'm not going to get into it right now, but whereas Goodwill, at the very least, does support helping people who may otherwise not be able to find work, like, so they have a more of a social, economic, that part of them is, I like that about Goodwill. There's other places you can donate to, at least textiles in particular. Here in Edmonton, Blenders is good because they literally sift through everything, and anything that's not wearable is then sorted into is the material still good to use for remaking? And then they partner with the House of Sew to use those scrap materials to teach people how to sew and create a skill.
Oh.
And then anything over and above that, they actually recycle the textiles, a lot of them. So here in Edmonton, Blenders is great for that. They are an amazing company, and Sarah is amazing, and they do awesome work.
That's great. But in terms of, I guess, reducing consumption for new items, I mean, if you're not thinking about the new donation side of it, but the like purchasing side of like if you're gonna go buy, I don't know, you need a certain specific item or even a piece of clothing, I guess. An alternative to buying something new or fast fashion piece could be a thrift store, and I think that angle is still okay.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, in this particular topic, you're right. I guess I kind of got sidetracked there. Yes. So the thing about thrift stores is they don't control what they get, right? So anything you buy at a thrift store is not creating a demand other than the overall getting more stuff donated to them because there's stuff there, but nothing in particular. So whatever it is you buy or you find at a thrift store is just happenstance that it's there. It's not like the thrift store specifically brought in these items for you to purchase. In that case, yes, you're not creating a demand for that, for more of that item to be made. Even the worst thrift stores, in that case, you're not creating that demand up the line.
And in terms of other than asking yourself, I guess, questions like before you purchase something or before you use that cup or that bag or what have you, or looking for an alternative like a secondhand item instead of a new one to create that demand, are there other tips or things that you think about when you're considering, or, I mean, you're minimalist, so you might not buy many things, but are there other things that you're thinking of when you're trying to avoid creating demand for certain products? I guess you were mentioning like, okay, picking the lesser of two evils, like if you're gonna, choose maybe organic versus pesticides or like in terms of vegetables, but like things like that. Like what are the things that people can think about when they're trying to pick and choose or vote with their wallets?
Oh, I think that's so tailored to what it is they're buying. Food, I have come to the conclusion that I try to focus on local before waste because I think, oh, like up the line, local would create less waste anyway, plus shipping and that sort of thing. And if you think about the situation we're in right now, where there's it's so hard to get anything right now. Everything is like back ordered and taking forever to ship in. And hey, had we supported our local economy and bought things as local as possible, more things would be made here and we wouldn't be having this problem, right?
Creating, I guess, a sustainable economy at home that can weather, crazy world events or something like that.
Right. I feel like this is kind of an anomaly, I suppose. But I mean, at the same time, globalization will create problems like that. I always try to get my items as local as possible, because that is one thing. If you can create the demand for local things to be desired, then people will want to make more local things.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, but like, think of all, like, we're talking about the creation of I guess waste a little bit, but like boxes from like shipping internationally or what have you, right? Like all mm-hmm. those, you know, when you're thinking of everything that gets shipped around, especially around holidays and things like that, like there's just so many cardboard boxes and the styrofoam things that go inside them and the bubble wrap and what have you, like,
yeah,
even just like all of that.
And that blows my mind too, because so much of that just gets thrown out, right? Like at my work, we dump a giant box of cardboard every week, right? And it's mm-hmm. it's like the boxes are still good. Why aren't these being reused? So we are pumping out more paper products when we really don't need to, because they're still reusable. In that case, it's a matter of how do you distribute them again? Because the company is ordering things from distributors, they're not going to be sending anything back to the distributors to reuse them, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do? Well, I would love it if somebody would come up with a solution for how to redistribute cardboard boxes. Somebody out there needs to come up with a solution, because I think there is a market there. I just don't know what the answer is yet.
I've seen on have you heard of like trading websites? Like, I don't know if Bunz is really popular in your area or not, but
Bunz?
Maybe you haven't heard of this.
I've never heard of this.
It's like an application that you can put on your phone. And basically you post items that you have in your home that you no longer need, that you want to get rid of. And everybody does this. So it's like lots and lots of people who participate, and it's free. It's a free app. And then when you're looking for an item, instead of going to the store or what have you, or like a secondhand shop, you would trade one of your items that someone else wants or needs for something that you want or need with them. And I've actually seen cardboard boxes as like people just post them. Let's say they've just moved or whatever, mm-hmm. and they have a bunch, or they have a bunch of like Amazon boxes or what have you, and they'll actually post them on there and be like, oh, pick them up for free if you're moving and you need them. So like, but that's just not a solution to the problem, but it's still like, you know, on a small scale, people who are thinking like, oh, I have these cardboard boxes in my home, maybe someone needs them to move or what have you, and then they can get those boxes from someone else. And it's so funny, because I actually moved during the pandemic when everything was locked down. And I didn't want to order just like boxes, because like that to me, that just seemed ridiculous. Like,
why doesn't that seem ridiculous?
Cardboard boxes, right?
Right.
So I was like, this is stupid. I'm not going to like purchase cardboard boxes. And I went to like the liquor store, and they have, you know, boxes that like the cases that the wine or whatever come in.
Those are great moving boxes. I just have to say, that's like a perfect size.
They're a bit on the smaller size. They, like when you're trying to, you can't fit as many sweaters, let's say, or whatever in a box as you would maybe bigger boxes, but that was my solution. But I, since then, have seen people like post boxes and I think you could probably even find some on Kijiji of people who are just posting mm-hmm. them for free, you know, like come and get these boxes so they don't go in the recycling.
Yeah. So I do use the Buy Nothing app.
Okay. So same idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So I recently got, I wanted a old vinyl banner because I wanted vinyl to sew with, but I'm like, you know what? I don't need to go buy vinyl. I'm going to get somebody's old used vinyl banner that isn't relevant anymore. And I'm going to cut that up and sew with that. And I got a puzzle to do at Christmas, and I love the Buy Nothing app. I'm very happy about it. Thank you, Emma, for introducing me to Buy Nothing groups. So I guess it's probably along the same line
mm-hmm,
as your Bunz
definitely.
App. Bunz. Why is it called Bunz?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
But it's spelled like B-U-N-Z.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'll check it out.
The funny name. But I know it's popular in a few different Canadian cities. Like, it's really big in Toronto and I think Vancouver and Montreal, and I'm not sure how big it is in Edmonton, but like,
yeah, I've never even heard of it. So
yeah,
but yeah, I will check it out though.
And I think it's fun too. Like, it doesn't create demand, and you're trading things that you may no longer need, and someone else will find super useful. And then you know, you get what you're looking for too.
Yeah.
Win-win on both sides.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that Kijiji and Buy Nothing groups would be a better option for not creating a demand, because it just happens. You're throwing it out to random people and someone may or may not happen to have it, or they're throwing something out that you may or may not need, right? It's definitely not creating a demand up the supply chain. Those are great options.
Mm-hmm.
Just thrift stores. The more I learn about thrift stores, the less I like them. I'm like, ah, man, you started with like this business model that is so great, and then you've twisted it into something terrible. And just,
yeah. Well, I think they do. I mean, you know, there's a big challenge there, because they can't, like you mentioned, they can't control what they get in, right? So that's the big, it's like, what do you do with all this stuff that comes in your door? And it's not like you're vetting everything as it comes in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it's finding a solution to that angle that would make them a better, you know, like if they could have more control. And then like, well, let's say they could regulate what comes in the door, then what happens with the stuff that doesn't make it into the store, right? Does it just automatically go to a landfill somewhere? Or are there recycling products, like are there recycling options for various items or products? Like it's
yeah, because I
a big undertaking.
Really don't think that places such as Value Village and some of probably the larger thrift stores, I don't think they're going to spend the time to try to sort out and dispose of everything in the best possible way, right? Mm. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but somehow I think it's just like, well, this didn't sell, into the bin it goes.
Yeah. Or like you mentioned, it gets sent somewhere else and who knows where that ends up, right?
Oh, yeah. One thing I did want to bring up was pens. Pens.
Oh.
Okay, so pens are like something that we don't even think about as, probably don't even think about as disposable. But pens are disposable. And part of me was always like, well, I never buy pens, so I can't be creating a demand. But if I accept people's promo pens, or if I accept the crappy Bic that we get at work or whatever, then I am still creating a demand for those. So I did eventually get myself a refillable fountain pen. And by the way, I love my pen. So great. And I get a lot of comments because it's a fountain pen and people don't see that all the time. So they're like, oh, look at your pen. I'm like, yeah, it's refillable. And I can use purple ink in it. Like it just makes me happy. But I did make the decision to go and support a local pen place. And yes, it was a $50 pen, but I never have to buy pens again.
Mm.
I have to buy ink, which the amount of times I've refilled it is definitely cheaper than getting new pens every time I have to refill it. So
is it easy to get the ink for it?
Yeah. So here in Edmonton, I got it at Stylus, which is literally a pen store. But you can just get ink from like Staples.
Oh, really? Like any kind of interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
What are other items that you can think of that like people, like there's a, you know, where we may not notice that there is demand, like we're creating a big demand for in our houses or something like that? Like are there other than pens?
Well, I mean, things that we don't really think of, like we just use them mindlessly, probably like tissues and paper towel and
yeah
like those are the disposable things in our households, the single use. Like when we think of this single use, we think of like coffee cups and straws and plastic bags. But even in your house, there are so many things that you use once. What about like your razor, right?
Mm.
So many people don't even think about their razor. I use a safety razor.
Yeah,
so that,
same.
So that I'm creating the demand for more recyclable metal blades, not more disposable plastic blades to be created when I use my razor.
Yeah. I love it, by the way. I don't know if you, oh my gosh, when I switched over a while back, I like can't imagine using a plastic one again. This is so much better.
I have a love-hate relationship with it.
Oh, really?
There was a big learning curve. It took me a while to realize that you have to like hold it way more upright, right? Like,
oh, like the angle?
Yeah, yeah, the angle that you have to get it at in order for it to work without cutting you.
Oh, I found it's so funny. I found the reverse. I found I used to cut myself accidentally more with the plastic ones
Maybe I just
than.
don't remember. I don't know. It's been so long since I've had a regular razor. But I did realize that, oh yeah, the head is perpendicular to the handle. It's not like on a pivoting angle that just moves with your rate. So you have to hold it
Yeah.
almost not quite 90 degrees to your skin, but you have to hold it quite upright. And then yeah, no, once I got it, I got it. But but I there
But it
was
definitely saves a lot of plastic, like
oh
it's just
yeah,
unreal.
so
Yeah.
much. And like I've been using this thing for years now, and I have a little jar that I put all of my sharps in, so my sewing needles and my razor blades, and like it takes forever to fill that up. But if you buy the plastic disposable razor heads, like those things are enormous, and the packaging that they come in, because there's like the safety little plastic pods that they come in, and then that comes into a big plastic container that holds everything in it. And I'm just like, this is ridiculous. The amount of
And they don't last
space,
as long.
yeah, the amount of space that my recyclable metal is taking up is way less than the disposable plastic. I'm just like, this is bonkers.
Yeah, no, that's a big one, that's for sure. I feel like the bathroom things in general, like I feel like are that's an area of the house that like toothpaste or that's a big one too, like those tubes of toothpaste or like the bottles that you put like you're right, like creating a demand for plastic bottles for your shampoos or conditioners instead of
Right.
using,
Yeah.
that's a big one, or reusable, like you go fill them up somewhere at a like a bulk store or something like that.
Yes. So, like, if you choose to use reusables, you're going to get more selection in a reusable, in a bulk section, because it's more popular. So, they're going to expand it, right? So, if you feel like, well, I can't get all the stuff that I need to in bulk, well, but if you get everything you can get in bulk, then the other stuff will come because they'll realize there's a demand for bulk. Right? Yeah. So anything that isn't available yet, if you can try to get as close to it as possible, you will create a demand for that. And people will be like, "Oh, hey, this is a really big thing right now. Maybe I'll start a business that makes that more available to people. Or maybe I can do it cheaper, or maybe I can do it better." But we have to create that demand first because the market's not going to fix it. We have to tell the market what we want them to fix.
I hope that if it's not a big company who's making that change, then like individual entrepreneurs can come up with and have that space and the people who want those products, right? So
Right.
just need creative people to come up with fun solutions to these problems or as we see them, problems for creating more waste.
Yeah. Or supporting local, because if you keep supporting Amazon and Walmart and all those big giant companies, then they're going to get stronger and they're going to take over more, and you're creating demand for them to take over. Whereas, so here's an example. I repair sewing machines at a sewing store. And we will hear from people like, "Oh, it's going to take 2 weeks to get that in. Well, I'm just going to get it from Amazon because I'll get it tomorrow."
Oh my goodness.
Right? We hear that fairly
Yeah.
regularly. Like, it's probably once every week, maybe once every 2 weeks at most, but like, it's pretty common that we hear somebody say that. And all I can think in the back of my head is, "Great. So when our business dies, I hope Amazon can fix your sewing machine for you. Good luck."
So I guess instead of waiting like a couple of weeks to get it fixed, I'll just buy a new one. Is that what's happening?
In this case, it was an accessory for a sewing machine.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
It was a hoop for an embroidery machine, the last one. But yeah, so she's like, "Well, if it's going to take a while to get that hoop in, I'm just going to go get it from Amazon because it's faster." I'm like,
Right,
"Yeah,
right.
okay. Well, when your embroidery machine dies and you need it fixed, Amazon's not going to be the one to help you. Just saying."
And I think that this is a big part of it too, like the repairing aspect, right? Like when we're talking about creating a demand for objects, like oftentimes we don't think of, can we fix this before we replace it, right? And I think even with like, you know, clothing is an obvious one, right? Like, oh, there's, you know, the button fell, or, you know, the zipper's not working, or what have you. Like, can you fix it before you buy yourself a new pair of jeans, let's say, or what have you?
Don't even get me started on repairing things, because I can go talk about that forever, because that is like my life. Repair, repair, repair.
But that's a huge part of it, right? When you're thinking of creating demand, like instead of just throwing out the thing because it doesn't work or whatever, like, can you fix it? Like you were saying before, what's the list of questions before you buy something new? Well, can you fix it first?
Yes.
I think that's
and that's a demand too, right? Like if you don't try to get your stuff repaired, then there's not going to be anyone left to repair them. And there's not going to be items that are repairable.
Yeah.
Right? Like the items already are getting less and less repairable on purpose.
Which boggles my mind.
If we like, can make that demand that we want things to be repairable, then the market will comply. And they, because we have to tell them how we want to spend our money.
Yeah, I think there needs to be more to like, I hate that companies, you know, they'll make all these things and they don't have the capacity to like say, how do you fix it? You know, like when we're talking about even electronics, like that's a big culprit, right? Like all this stuff, they make all these products and like it's super complicated. There may not be ways to fix things, or they make them so they're harder to fix, like you were saying. Like, I don't get why there's no like rules or laws or, you know, something around that makes it
because there's no demand for it.
Oh, it's this not, is that one to me is mind-boggling.
Is everyone, so many people will be like, well, the government needs to fix it. Like, well, it needs to come from the top down and the bottom up. We need to create that demand for what is going to fix it. Or it's going to take too long and it's just going to upset people, right? That's how it works. Anyway, I'm sure we could go on about this forever, but maybe we should get into wine, cheese, and dessert.
Sure.
Do you want to go first today?
Yeah. So my wine, this is going back to those boxes, I guess. Well, not boxes. This is not a box, but it's a similar idea. But I ordered some pictures to put in, you know, some frames that I had at home. And it's so silly. I ordered like a few different things from pictures, and they got shipped separately from the same company. Mm. And it's just like, why would you, you know, not wait the couple of days until the other pictures were printed to send all the pictures together? Like, it just creates more, you know, more postage or whatever. Like, it's just, it's,
yeah,
that bothers me. And it's like, I know lots of companies who do this.
I would like to see there be an option for like green packaging. It's like,
yeah,
like I'm okay with waiting for an extra day or two for all my stuff to get shipped together. I'm okay if you use paper instead of styrofoam, right? Like, I wish that was a thing.
Yeah, and I feel like lots of people would probably click that option if it meant even waiting a week or so. Like, I'm in no rush. I just want them when they are all together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, very silly.
What's your cheese?
My cheese. Okay, so did you hear about this soup that's always in demand? It's called out of stock.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not good at these cheeses. And I was trying to find one related to like demand. And anyways, that's what I came up with.
That's cute.
And then my dessert is, I've always wanted to do, this is going to sound kind of ridiculous, but I've always wanted to do one of those like crazy light displays. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like the house that's like decked out with funky lights and
lights. Yeah.
But I didn't want to like go out and buy a bunch of lights and create more demand for it. So this is on theme. So I went on that app I was mentioning earlier, and the Buns app, and I like put a post saying like, this is my dream to have like this like decked out Christmas light display. And you know, so if you have lights and you're not using them or you want to get rid of them, just let me know. And I got a bunch of Christmas lights through this website, so without having to go to the store and purchase new lights. And people were just like, I'm not using them, like go ahead and use them, or I'll take some of these items that I need from you in exchange for these Christmas lights. And now I have a beautiful Christmas light display in front of our house that I didn't have to create a demand for extra lights from a store. So it's pretty fun. And they're all, I mean, they're kind of mishmash lights, but they look fun to me. So I'm happy with it. And it's a fun little project. Yeah. So that's my list.
That's awesome.
What's your wine and cheese and dessert.
Lights are like my favorite part of Christmas time and like winter time in general. And when we moved into our condo, the previous owner left some lights up in the patio. And I'm like, I'm okay with this. So I was very happy that we already had lights. Okay.
Yeah.
My wine is that composting for me means bringing my food scraps to a friend's place who has a green bin. Because in the condo, we don't have composting in the building. So I have to compost somewhere else. So my friend has generously let me take my food scraps and put them in her bin. So, however, we had originally arranged to meet on Monday, and that didn't work out. So then we tried to get together on Tuesday, but that didn't work out. And then Wednesday, and then we finally, like, met up. I was just like, you know what? Just come into the work. I'll bring them to work with me on Thursday. And so she did. And so I'm, like, transferring these frozen compost things to her giant bucket so she can take it home with her. She's such a dear person, and I'm very appreciative that she's doing this for me. And so my boss walks in and he's like, what is this? This is disgusting. And I'm like, what do you mean it's disgusting? Like, you literally eat these things and it's frozen. Like, what is gross about this? I don't understand why people think compost is gross. What is that about?
Yeah.
I don't get it. So
to me, it's like the better of all the trash and recycling options that you have. It's like the, you know, most organic. I don't know. You're right. Like, it's weird.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just bizarre. He's like, ew, that's disgusting. And I'm like, how is this disgusting? Like, these are literally things that you eat. I mean, it's not the part of them you eat, but you still eat the rest of it. And then it gets frozen. It's not like it's rotting right now. It's just, I don't know. Anyway, it just boggles my mind.
What's your cheese?
My cheese is, how many supply chain planners does it take to change a light bulb?
How many?
We don't know yet. The light bulb shipment's delayed.
Oh, your cheeses are so funny. Like, oh my goodness. I don't know where you get your cheeses, but it's not where I get my cheese, because your cheese are better.
You'll get it. Don't even worry about it. We will make you cheesy.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
What's your dessert?
My dessert is that this time of year, I love that all the craft markets come out, and you so many opportunities to see what's out there that's local and support local and buy slow items. Do you want, like, you know what I mean by slow items?
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, items that people actually, like, take the time to make themselves and aren't just, like, pumped up by a machine. So I have been able to go to craft shows and see all the different items out there. And, like, the skills that people have, like, they're making journals and they're making wood products, like, beautiful crib boards and cutting boards and the pottery. There was so much pottery, and I'm just like, oh, I love pottery so much. But I'm like, but I already have a mug. And the minimalist in me is like, I have a single mug in my house. I don't need any more. So I'm like, oh, but I do love them. I do love them so much. And it is one of my favorite things when I go to, like, a cafe or to someone's house and get coffee. And they're like, pick a mug, and you have, like, this array of different kinds of pottery mugs to choose from, and it just makes me happy. So
yeah, and what I think is fun about these Christmas markets that you're mentioning is that, like, a lot of these people who have these little stores and these like pop-up shops or whatever, like, they don't necessarily have an actual store or website or something to sell them on. So it's like your opportunity to help this business that's just, like, maybe starting out or something like that, right? So that's definitely fun.
Yeah. No, I do love them. They make me so happy. And, like, fudge, wine, beer. Yum. Just love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right. So that is our episode for today. Thanks again, Kara, for joining me. I'm so glad you're here.
I am happy to be here.
Thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you to our patrons on Patreon who support waste reduction efforts here in Edmonton, Alberta. We really appreciate Change Toothpaste sponsoring the podcast and making all of the expenses of podcasting covered for us, because we are all volunteers here. If you guys want to reach us, you can email us at becominglesspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at becominglesspod, or you can go to wastefree.ca/becominglesspod for all the ways to connect and listen. Until next time, we can all be a little less than we were yesterday.
Hey, Kat, stop that.